Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. Thanking God for you this morning. Let us get started with our usual prayer in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I encourage you to pray this over yourselves each and every day, but let us get started this morning by praying. God, Heavenly Father, we just come before you to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all glory and all honor. We thank you for this day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that heals, delivers, sets free, and restores and redeems and justifies. We plead the blood over ourselves and our families, and we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, we invite you to pray alongside us as we pray the Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, over ourselves. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and a comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Father God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And you, Father, have delivered and drawn us out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've drawn us to yourself and have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Holy Spirit, and it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we are talking about the art of biblical meditation. Today is part two. We started off yesterday, and I call it an art because it's just like prayer. If you are not taught correctly, you won't do it correctly. We find with prayer, there are so many people who pray, and it's a great thing, but many people don't pray correctly because they haven't been taught how to pray correctly. For years, I used to just pray what I call anyhow prayers and never really saw results. You know, here and there, if not for the grace of God, really. But then I had to get to a place where I knew how to pray correctly. I knew how to communicate with God in a manner that was pleasing to him. And so up until I learned that, you know, if I didn't pray the word of God, I wasn't actually praying correctly, because basically my prayers were filled with repetitions of things that I wanted and wanted God to do for me and all that stuff. It really wasn't about, you know, going back to God with his word, putting him in remembrance of his word, and, you know, placing a demand on the promises that he has already given us. And so until I learned how to pray the will of God, which is praying the word of God and applying it correctly to my situations, I, you know, didn't know how to pray correctly. So again, it's an art. You have to be taught how to pray. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. He gave them the model prayer, which we now call the Lord's Prayer. And he told them exactly, line by line, what they needed to do in order to start with their prayer. Well, it's the same thing with meditation. For the longest time, I found that, you know, a lot of Christians don't really know how to meditate on the word of God. And yet this is one of the conditions that God gave to Joshua for his success. Now, if you recall, in Joshua chapter 1, when God was telling him what to do, we talked about it previously, that God spoke, told him what to be four times, and two times he told him what to do. And one of the things that he needed to do was to meditate upon the word of God day and night. He needed to obey all the commandments, and he also needed to meditate upon the word of God day and night. Now, you know, when you look at how God arrived at this. Well, recall, if you recall, Moses had died, and Moses, you know, was leading the people out of the wilderness and taking them towards the promised land, and then he dies in the middle of all this. There's 3 million plus people that he's supposed to have taken into the promised land. Well, Joshua, God raises up Joshua and says, now you know, Moses, my servant, has died. Now you are the one who's going to take his place and go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land which I'm giving you. Now, think about it here. When you read the book of Exodus, you find that in the entire time that Moses was leading the people out, these were like a difficult group of people. They would murmur and complain. I mean, accuse Moses of this and that, just do stuff, crazy stuff. And so Moses probably was glad that these guys, you know, I mean, that he had gone home to be with the Lord. He needed to get rid of this tough group of people. Well, here's Joshua. He's been with Moses. He was Moses' armor bearer, and he knew, you know, how difficult this group of people was. And God is coming and saying, hey, you take these people over the Jordan. Now you are going to lead them into the promised land. I'm sure, obviously, fear gripped him. Probably he didn't want to, but he had to obey the Lord. And so the Lord now starts encouraging him by telling him that every place in the land where, you know, your foot shall tread, I've given to you already, and as I promised Moses. So he's reminding him of the things he told Moses. Then he tells him that nobody will be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Why? Because I think God had to encourage him to tell him that, because this was a huge assignment. It was a huge task that God was giving him. So the first thing he says to him is, be strong, be confident, and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land, you know, in verse 6. And then he goes on and tells him again, only you be strong and very courageous. We talked about being courageous, meaning that you have to endure, you have to be patient and all that. And so we see now in verse 8, Joshua 1, verse 8, the Lord is telling him, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So that's one thing. You have to speak the word of God out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So as much as, yes, we are reading the word of God, but we should take the word of God, these scriptures, and make them a part of our confession. And also we can use the same verses as prayer. You know, so he says, it will not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay, so the meditating upon it day and night is not twice a day. It's throughout the day. It's throughout the night. And so I always put it, so that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. So the only way you'll be able to observe and do according to all that is written in the word of God is if you practice, you know, meditating on the word of God. And now we're talking about biblical meditation. I'm not talking about the meditation that, you know, the Eastern meditation. No, I'm talking about meditating on the word of God. And then it says, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Well, God is putting the responsibility back on Joshua of making his way prosperous and having, you know, dealing wisely and having good success. That responsibility is placed back on him. God is not saying, I'm the one who's going to make you successful. You have to do A, B, C in the natural to make your way prosperous and then deal wisely and have good success. Verse 9, he goes on to say, have I not commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, going back to meditation here, biblical meditation is basically, or simply, you know, taking the word of God into your heart and going over it and over it and over it, not just in your heart, but even you could do it. We'll see, you know, scriptures as we go along where David would say that I meditate upon my bed, you know, as he's laying there in the morning, he's meditating upon the word of God. So you can meditate without having to say it out. You can take a scripture and be going over and over it in your mind. In other words, pondering over it, thinking over it. So you go over, you take that word and go over in your heart until that word produces revelation or spiritual insight into the thing that you're believing God for. It also helps us to build up our faith, which allows us to see, you know, with our spiritual eyes in the realm of the spirit. Now, if you recall in Philippians chapter 4, in Philippians 4 verse 6, Apostle Paul is speaking to the Philippian church, and he's saying to them that, you know, don't, you know, first of all, he starts in verse 4 by telling them to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, they're dealing with some situation. And so he's encouraging them by letting them know that they need to rejoice at all times. And he says, and again, I say rejoice. But then in verse 6, he goes on and says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. So don't have any fear. Don't have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Then he talks about, and God's peace shall be yours. So he's talking about the peace of God there. Then he says, In verse 8, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. And then he says, in my Bible, in Amplified, it says, fix your mind, your minds on them. So meditating on the word is actually fixing your mind on this particular thing that is an issue for you. So in terms of God speaking to Joshua, he's telling him to really fix his mind on the word of God, excuse me, and not to be focused on, he's telling him not to be so much focused on, you know, his surroundings. Because sometimes when you're focused on your surroundings, you're not going to be able to fully meditate in the way that God requires us to meditate. Now, I read to you yesterday the dictionary definition of meditation. It says close or continued thought, the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, serious contemplation, or to resolve in the mind, imagine, or premeditate. I also said that a lot of times we do meditation without recognizing, but it's usually negative meditation when we have a situation that we're encountering, and it causes us worry. So most times when you're worried, you're thinking over that thing constantly. It's on your mind. It's consuming you. You know, so all day long, you know, you could be worried. I recall times when I would worry so much. I used to be a worrier until God delivered me of that. And I would worry so much about something that I would actually worry myself into hunger without even knowing that I spent the entire day without eating just because I was so worried about a situation. And this is before I started ministry, but I'm telling you, I used to worry so much. It would be on my mind. That's the thing that would consume my mind the entire day. I mean, I would be in a foul mood actually because of that. Sometimes people will be like, what's wrong? What's going on with you? I'm like, oh, nothing. You know, but the thing that was bothering me was whatever that situation was, that was, you know, I would go over it and over it in my mind. I didn't realize back then that that was negative meditation. And so we already know how to meditate. We just need to replace that negative meditation, which is of the devil, into, you know, positive meditation by meditating on the word of God. So when you take that word and you let it, you know, consume you, you let it go over, roll it over in your mind, roll it over in your mind. And usually, you know, the way I do it, I would speak out the word, you know, so I'm speaking the word out of my mouth and speaking that word and starting to focus and zone in on that word. You know, as you speak it out of your mouth, you know, you get rid of the distractions that come. We looked at the Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, and how Jesus talked about, you know, the word comes in and the distractions and the cares and the anxieties of this world, they come in and they choke the word that has been, you know, preached or the word that the person has received. Well, you have to get rid of the distractions. You have to get rid of, you know, the cares and everything. And so obviously you're dealing with a situation. is causing you some type of worry, but you're not supposed to worry. You first have to get rid of that fear and that anxiety and that worry. So I would take Philippians 4, verse 6, and start to speak that out of my mouth. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the spirit of worry. I come against anxiety. You have to go. It is not the will of God for me. I refuse to worry. I refuse to fear. I refuse to have anxiety about this situation because God is my source. He is in control. You know, God, you know, he is my shield. He is my high tower. You know, he is my deliverer, whatever it is you need at that point. So I refuse to fear. Fear, leave my life. You're not the will of God for me. Anxiety, you're not the will of God for me. Worry, you're not the will of God for me. I would first take care of that because you just can't jump into meditation and you're still dealing with all this fear and everything and anxiety. So I would deal with that first and stand on Philippians 4:6 for as long as it takes for me to feel that I have peace or for the Holy Spirit to release the peace. And, you know, you can speak it out of your mouth and then pray it out in the spirit until you feel that you have peace in your heart. Then afterwards, you can get into the scripture that you need. So let's say we'll just use Psalm 138, verse 8, which talks about how God will perfect the things that concern us. And so we can use that in terms of if you are dealing with a situation. And so verse 8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands. And so whatever version you have, I use the Amplified Classic version. And so, you know, you would go after you've gotten rid of the distractions, the cares and the anxieties, then you take that, you know, and you start speaking it out of your mouth. The Lord will perfect that which is concerning me. The Lord will perfect that which is concerning me. By saying it out of your mouth and going over it like that, what happens is that you're, you know, getting rid of those distractions, getting rid of those anxieties, because now you're focusing, you're trying to get yourself centered and focused on what you're saying or what the word of God is saying. You'll get to a place where you're not even hearing yourself say it. You are now developing a mental picture of that situation being perfected by God. You begin to see yourself spiritually possessing what it is that you're believing God for. You begin to see yourself victorious. And I assure you, you will develop this mental picture. So meditation needs time. You can't just do it in 2 minutes and get that. You've got to give it time. And especially if you're starting out, you want to give it at least an hour. And so you start off, you're quiet, don't have any noise, turn off your phone, turn off the television, you know, get into a quiet place and begin to just speak this word, you know, just get everything out of your mind. Don't concern yourself with anything. Just focus on the word of God. And so as you focus on the word of God, you'll begin to develop that mental picture. And once you get that mental picture, believe me, you've gotten the answer to, you know, the manifestation of what it is you need. And it won't be long before it manifests. The reason why you may not get it immediately is because you're probably still trying to figure it out in the natural. When you're meditating on the word of God, don't try to figure it out in the natural because it doesn't work that way. You just focus on God and you see yourself actually having and possessing the thing that God has given you. Now, remember, biblical meditation also helps us to build our faith. When we build our faith, it allows us to see with our spiritual eyes in the realm of the spirit. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, we are told, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That's the Amplified Classic version. So it also, when we meditate upon the word of God, it also helps us to build inner strength, to believe, the ability to hold on to whatever it is that we're believing for. So in Genesis, you know, we see two accounts where, and through by tomorrow, I'll show you some other accounts, but I want to show you these two accounts in Genesis. First, we see in Genesis chapter 13, when God had, you know, when Abraham had left, you know, in chapter 12, he had left his mother and father's house and all that, and he and Lot went together. In chapter 13, we get to a point where there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and Lot's cattle, and so they decided to go their separate ways. And Lot picked, you know, Lot looked at the land that looked like it was promising, the Sodom and Gomorrah area, and so he decided to choose whatever he wanted to choose, and he left. Well, first of all, God didn't tell Abraham to take Lot with him. So Lot was pretty much a distraction. And so with all this strife and everything happening, it was a distraction. Once Abraham took Lot, God didn't speak to him again up until Lot left. When Lot left, now the Bible tells us in Genesis 13, verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham. So it's interesting how immediately after Lot leaves, the Lord begins to speak to him. Because, I can go into details with this, but Lot had was a major distraction to Abraham. Whatever God was planning for Abraham, Lot wasn't part of it. So a lot of times, you know, as Christians, we want to take people along with us, or we want to do something. You know, God will tell you to do something. I remember years ago on our prayer line, one lady came on and said, oh, you know, the Lord has told me, you know, to start praying in my church, to be interceding in my church. And, you know, there's this and that going on. And so he told me to start interceding. And so I went and asked people to help me, and they did. They were refusing. So I'm wondering why they were refusing. Well, I asked her, I said, did the Lord tell you to ask the people? She said, no. I said, who did he tell to do this? And she says, well, he told me. I said, well, why did you then decide to go and ask people? You should have just done what God was telling you to do. And so a lot of times we make that mistake where God tells us to do something. We think, oh, this is too big. Let me go tell somebody else to join me. I remember doing that the very first time when God told me to start a Bible study at my workplace where I used to work before. And, you know, and that was years ago. And the Lord says, start a Bible study. And I was like, oh, okay, great. I went to this one lady and I said, hey, would you like to join? You know, I'm going to start a Bible study. Do you want to start it with me? And she was like, oh, no, I don't want to do that and everything. And because she said no, I didn't start the Bible study. And so I was discouraged and I sat back and I didn't do what God told me to do. And you know, when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you can pray for so many millions and one things, he won't do it for you until you do the very last thing he commanded you to do. And so a couple of years later, about 3 years after that, I remember the Lord saying to me again, and this time he didn't even ask me to do it. I was in a room where they gave us for meditate, you know, for, you know, like a meditation room. And so I was in that room just studying my word and meditating, came out, and this same lady who I'd asked 3 years ago, she met me and she was like, oh, you know, I wanted to talk to you. I have this situation going on. Can you pray for me? So I prayed for her immediately, and it was on a Friday. She had so much fear. She couldn't stay in her house. She was always calling 911. And so I prayed and came against the spirit of fear, and she went home. On Monday, she comes back and she tells me, she's like, this is the very first time I've actually slept without, you know, having to be, you know, fearful in my house. And the police even called me, because I'm always calling 911, and they even called me to check and see how I was, what was going on, if I was okay, because they didn't hear from me. And so she had really gotten her breakthrough and everything. So anyhow, she says, are you going back into your room today to meditate and to study the word? I said, yeah. She says, can I join you? I said, sure. So she came in. And, you know, I started ministering to her as I sat there, and she was so blessed. I didn't even spend my own time in the word. I just started ministering to her, and she was so blessed. The next day she called me and she said, are you going back to the room? I said, yes. She says, can I bring a friend? And she brought a friend. And so every day the group, the Bible study group, started working that way. Now, was I wrong in asking her the first time? Yes, I was. Was I incorrect in knowing that God was going to use her to be the one to bring people? I wasn't wrong there, but it just wasn't time yet. I needed to go ahead and do what God wanted me to do, and then he was going to bring her like he did. He's the one who brought her to me with her situation, and then he now in turn used her, because God knew me. I was the type of person that I wasn't going to go out there and try to get people to come. So he used her to start bringing all her friends, and each friend that came would invite a friend the next day, until I now had a fully fledged Bible study group, you know, women's group from Monday through Friday. And I was now, you know, speaking to them and speaking to them. This was in preparation before God now said, you know, leave your job, quit your job, and go and serve me full time. So the thing is, it's so important for us to make sure that we do what God is telling us to do and make sure that it is, we get the instructions correctly. If God is saying you do ABC, then you do it. Don't go out there trying to find other people because it won't happen. Just like in the situation with this lady, she was like, well, everybody is not praying. I said, God didn't tell everybody else. God told you. So in Abraham's situation, God didn't tell him to take Lot. And so because he took Lot, God was quiet. Up until now, Lot left. Then God starts to speak. So we see here, we pick up in Genesis 13, verse 14 and 15, God is saying to him, then the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had left him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your posterity forever. What is God actually telling Abraham here? Where he stood, he's telling him to look north, south, east, and west. Well, first of all, physically, with his physical eyes, he could not see all the land that God was trying to give him. But with his spiritual eyes, he could see that. Well, the spiritual eyes, it's in the mind. When you and I, that's why I call biblical meditation imagining sometimes, because you and I can imagine. I always imagine myself ministering in a place that I've never been in before. I see myself there. I see myself on stage. You could, with your spiritual eyes, you could see yourself in a country doing whatever it is that God has called you to do somewhere else. So when God says lift up now your eyes, we'll talk about that, because that lifting up the eyes appears several times in the Bible. It's another way of God saying see with your spiritual eyes. That's why he says lift up now your eyes. He was basically telling him to see with his spiritual eyes. Now, when we start to see with our spiritual eyes, what is that? We are actually meditating on something. So when you meditate, you have to get to the place where you begin to see with your spiritual eyes that promise that God has given you in his word, and you see yourself possessing it. Well, going back to Joshua, when God told him to meditate on this word, why was it so important for him to meditate on the word day and night? Because this assignment that he had given him was serious. It was a huge assignment. The people were mumbling and grumbling and, just always complaining. And so he had to not see the people, but see with his spiritual eyes that all the land that they were supposed to get, the promised land, that he possessed it. Even though he had not even set foot on it, he had to first see that he possessed it. He was actually leading the children and that they were taking over the land. And so before he could even go in, the Lord says, I have already given you the land. So right there was God telling him, imagine yourself in this land. As you meditate on the word of God, you begin to see yourself in that land. As you're seeing yourself in that land, know that I've already given it to you. So he had to use his imagination. He had to use his spiritual eyes to see himself possessing the land. Even I remember at one point when they were approaching one part of the land, God even told him, I'll give it to you bit by bit, but first you have to contend with the wicked king of Shihon. So they had to go and battle, do warfare with this guy. But because he had learned or mastered the art of biblical meditation, he would already see themselves, having the victory even before they went and fought the battle. And so this is how you need to use biblical meditation. You can take that word of God and you begin to see yourself victorious. As you speak it out of your mouth you'll begin to see with your spiritual eyes yourself possessing the things that God has already promised unto you. And as you see yourself doing that, you'll begin to possess it in the natural. Now, I'll go over this lifting up your eyes, tomorrow by God's grace, because it is very important for us to understand what God was saying. Well, I pray that you were blessed by this teaching this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a blessed and prosperous day. And by God's grace, we'll speak again tomorrow morning. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
are a chosen generation. We've been called for to show His excellence. Hey, all I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation. We've been called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, for I know who I am. I know.